Bhajirgatishchandrakavrishtisattvatam
Prasidatam
me bhagavan satam padi Shriyapatir yajyapatih prajapatir Diyampatir lokapatir dharapati Patir gatis chandra ka vrishni sattvatam Prasidatam me bhagavan satam pati
Thank you.
Priya,
Priya,
all opulence,
all opulence.
Pati,
Pati,
the owner,
the owner.
Yajna,
Yajna,
of sacrifice,
sacrifice.
Pati,
Pati,
the director,
the director.
Prajapati,
Prajapati,
the leader of all living entities,
the leader of all living entities.
Dhyam,
Dhyam,
of intelligence.
Pati,
Pati,
the master.
Lokapati,
Lokapati,
the proprietor of all planets.
Hara,
Earth.
Earth.
Pati,
Pati,
the supreme.
Pati,
Pati,
head.
Gati,
Gati,
destination.
Destination.
Cha,
also,
also.
Antaka,
one of the kings
of the Yadu dynasty.
Vrishni,
the first king
of the Yadu dynasty.
Satvatam,
the Yadus.
Prasiratam,
be merciful.
May,
unto me.
Bhagavan,
Lord Shri Krishna.
Satam,
of all devotees.
Pati,
the Lord.
Translation.
May Lord Shri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings like the Andaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, the husband of the goddess of fortune, the director of all sacrifices and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful unto me. Purport. Since Sukadev Goswami is one of the prominent Gata Vyalikas who are freed from all misconceptions, he therefore expresses his own realized perception of Lord Shri Krishna as being the sum total of all perfection, the personality of Godhead. Everyone is seeking the favor of the goddess of fortune. The people do not know that Lord Shri Krishna is the beloved husband of all goddesses of fortune. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord, in his transcendental abode of Goloka Vrindavan, is accustomed to herding the Surabhi cows and is served there by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune. All these goddesses of fortune are manifestations of his transcendental pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti. In his internal energy, all these goddesses of fortune are manifestations of his transcendental pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, in his internal energy. And when the Lord manifested himself on this earth, he partially displayed the activities of his pleasure potency in his Rasa Lila, just to attract the conditioned souls who are all after the phantasmagoria pleasure potency in degraded sex enjoyment. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Sukadev Goswami, who was completely detached from the abominable sex life of this material world, discussed this act of the Lord's pleasure potency certainly not in relation to sex, but to relish a transcendental state inconceivable to the mundaners who are after sex life. Sex life in the mundane world is the root cause of being conditioned by the shackles of illusion, and certainly Sukadev Goswami was never interested in the sex life of the mundane world. Nor does the manifestation of the Lord's pleasure potency have any connection with such degraded things. Lord Chaitanya was a strict sannyasi, so much so that he did not allow any woman to come near him, not even to bow down and offer respects. He never even heard the prayers of the Devadasis offered in the temple of Jagannath, because a sannyasi is forbidden to hear songs sung by the fair sex. Yet even in the rigid position of a sannyasi, he recommended the mode of worship preferred by the gopis of Vrindavan as the topmost loving service possible to be rendered to the Lord. And Srimati Radharani is the principal head of all such goddesses of fortune. And therefore, she is the pleasure counterpart of the Lord and non-different from Krishna. In the Vedic rituals, there are recommendations for performing different types of sacrifice in order to achieve the greatest benefit in life. Such benedictions as the results of performing great sacrifices are,
After all, favor is given by the goddesses of fortune, and the Lord, being the husband or lover of the goddess fortune, is factually the Lord of all sacrifices also. He is the final enjoyer of all kinds of yajna. Therefore, Yajnapati is another name of Lord Krishna. It is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita that everything be done for the Yajnapati. Yajnartat karmanah. For otherwise one's acts will be the cause of conditioning by the law of material nature. Those who are not freed from all misconceptions, vyalikam, perform sacrifices to please minor demigods. But the devotees of the Lord know very well that Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all performances of sacrifice. Therefore, they perform the Samkirtan Yajna, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu, which is especially recommended in this age of Kali. In the Kali Yuga, performance of other types of sacrifice is not feasible due to insufficient arrangements and inexpert priesthood. So, Sukadeva Goswami here is giving, Prabhupada points out, his opinion, his realization. Your opinion means realization. It doesn't mean his idea. Because everything is based in the Shastra. Prabhupada himself said all the examples that he gives, you know, in his books and lectures, his analogies and that, these are all Vedic. These are all given in the Vedic literatures. They all exist there. So even Prabhupada's opinion is based on the Vedic principle, right? This is important. It's just like, generally we think of, how you say, the West will be considered, let's say, their music is more free, while the Indian will be more restricted, right? You have to learn so much grammar and scales and practices and do exactly what you're told. But interestingly enough, actually it's the opposite. Because the Western music, you're copying what someone else has done. And the expertise of the musician is how well he can copy it and interpret it and bring out the feelings of it. Well, in the Indian classical, yes, one has to go through much greater rigor to learn the field. But once you know the field, then it's simply improvisation. There is no musician who will ever play the same raga twice exactly the same. Even though it has the same notes, the same important elements to it, it's never the same. It just isn't. So this aspect of opinion means that within the field given by the Vedic literatures, you can pull it and put it together because all the literatures connect together. Right? There's no differences in any. You can take any Vedic literature and explain actually the same thing is given in the Bhagavatam. Just you have to be able to bring it out. You have to churn it. While the Bhagavatam, it's like the mango that has no skin and no seed. You can just eat it. While the other ones, you have to take it through some development to be able to appreciate what's there. Does this make some sense? Yeah. So the idea is because all these literatures are bringing in different angles and different importances, because depending upon what is the angle of the scripture, it will give importance to a particular thing, right? Like your grammar will emphasize grammar, right? The structure of the language. But structure is there in everything. Social interaction has structure. Everything has structure. So structure, therefore, is brought out in that, right? Even more would be, let's say, in architecture, you know, in engineering. Then structure is all that you see. But at the same time as in astrology, the structure, because the universe is structured, right? Relationships are structured. Everything that we have is structured. So, but it will be brought out in these ones where structure is the main prominence. So as something like Ayurveda, you don't think of structure, but the body is structured. It's a small universe. Right? So therefore, because it's a small universe, therefore Ayurveda and Jyotish, or astronomy, astrology, will be very connected. Because one is the big universe, one is the small universe. Right? So, there's all these connections. So depending upon one's expertise, one can bring this out. So this will be called opinion. But it's actually, we see here, Prabhupada says, his realization. Right? It's not something just made up, but it's their uniqueness through their realization they can bring this out. Otherwise, we speak just exactly what we've heard. We repeat. But as we have understanding Krishna consciousness and mature, then we're able to bring out. So here, then, Sukadeva Goswami is bringing this out. This is his, how he is looking at it. So the greatness of the Lord is being brought out in this verse, because this word pati keeps coming up. So it's the owner, the director, the leader, the master, the proprietor, the supreme. Where else is it used? Yeah, and the Lord. Right? So this element is what's being brought out, is that whatever there is, Krishna is the Lord of it. He is the best of it. He's the cause of it. He's the reason it works. Like that. That's important. If that's seen, then everything works. Whatever there is, no matter what your purpose, you have to connect it to the Lord. It may sound mundane, because we know pure unalloyed devotional service is what should be offered. We should not change that. It's very important. It's with great effort that Srila Prabhupada has established that. So better we keep that as a standard, and we are always offering things in that mood, but then the things that we feel can't be offered like that, we're not offering. That's not good, but at least the things that can be offered, we are offering in the proper way. Right? The other is a minor detail. Does that make sense? Didn't quite. Okay. So the means, in here, depending upon the vision, you establish or emphasize something in the Vedic literature. Because the Vedic literature is very vast. Everything is there. This is Krishna, so everything's there. So then, in here, then Prabhupada's bringing out, by from the Bhagavatam, the pure unalloyed devotional service. This is the standard. But we'll note, so because of this, then the tendency is things in our life that we would consider a bit mundane, the tendency is not to offer them. Does that make sense? So that is not ideal, but considering that, it's more important that our value and focus is that pure unalloyed devotional service is the standard. And that's what we're endeavoring for. That's so much more important. So if there's a lack, better it's a lack in things that we don't see in light of devotional service. We don't know how to offer them. That's minor. Right? It's a secondary thing. Well, you see, others know the Vedic literature very nicely. They know how to offer every little detail of their life, but don't know that pure unalloyed devotional service. That is a bigger fault. Right? So, that one is engaged in pure unalloyed devotional service, that's what one is endeavoring for. So therefore, one is at least in endeavors working for pure devotional service. It means the motive is pure. Right? The activity may or may not be so great, but the motive is pure. That is good. That is special. That is what our line has to give. You don't necessarily see this as much in the other lines. Every line is giving this idea. But because of the nature of it, other things are brought out more. And so because of that, they get stuck on this. Right? So even though all these tools are there, but one has to be careful. Just like for a cook, a knife is indispensable. So you could say that without a knife, you can't really prepare for lunch, which is basically true. And that one sentence sums it up. But I could probably spend, you know, a long time talking about how to be careful with a knife, how to use the knife, what kind of knife is to use, how dangerous the knife is, how to keep it safely, how to, you know, don't leave it around, don't put it in the sink with all the other paraphernalia. you know, and fill it up with water. You can just go on and on and on. So the tendency is then to think that all these things are actually the important element. The knife's dangerous is the important element. No, the knife is useful is the important element. Does that make sense? So that's what Prabhupada has done. That's what our previous acharyas have done. Is they've so much brought out the usefulness of the knife that even when they talk about the other, because they're saying all these things, but they say at the same time, don't get distracted by it. You know? And at the same time, because it's brought out that it is dangerous because you don't want to misapply it, you may think I shouldn't use a knife. Right? Or, if I bring out the importance of the knife, I may think that the danger doesn't matter. Right? But the proper view is to balance all that with the focus being the usefulness of the knife in the kitchen. Does that make some sense? So, pure unalloyed devotional service is the focus. That must be the prominence. Then if the little details about our day-to-day life aren't all nicely connected. And the reason of that is because we don't consider it offerable. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But otherwise it all should be. We brush our teeth in the morning, we wash our face, then we look in the mirror, see how good we look. You know, we smile, check out the teeth, this and that. But that we look good, the teeth are looking shiny, that we've just polished them and everything's there, that should be offered to Krishna. Because it looks nice. Why? It looks nice because it's part of Krishna's beauty. That's just looking nice. Right? Some enamel and some skin and some hair, it's not looking great. Right? Krishna puts his potency into it, then it looks nice. Right? You understand? Easy thing. One could maybe think, well, how is that true? No, beauty is beauty. Is, if you're not in a good mood, look in the mirror. Do you look great? No. Anybody else who's in a bad mood, do they look great? Take the most beautiful woman. When she's in a bad mood, is she the most beautiful woman? No. So, that's the point. It's the energy that makes anything nice. It's the energy that makes anything attractive. It's the energy. Money itself. I got millions of pieces of paper on the table that say I'm a rich man. Right? And they've got all little faces on them and, you know, whatever is important for, you know, considered to be legal tender. But it doesn't have any meaning unless it's accepted by people. Right? I take this money out, and, you know, the monkey has just stolen my glasses. And I say, hey, monkey, I'll give you, you know, 100 rupees to give my glasses back. You think he cares? It doesn't mean anything. So the potency is not flowing there. But you find another person and say, hey, I'll give you 100 rupees and we're, you know, business is happening. So it's the potency, it's there. It's not the little pieces of paper. You know, it's not the tin can with the four wheels on it. You know, it's not the piece of cloth with all the fancy designs on it. It's not the funny little nicely shaped pieces of, you know, yellow metal. Right? It's only because the potency of the Lord is there, then it has meaning. Right? Does this make sense? So, because that potency is there, then we say it's beautiful. So, actually, that's Krishna's beauty. And why it should be there, we should have an explanation why we're looking beautiful. Okay, oh no, it's Maya. But even then, Maya belongs to Krishna, so even if it's Maya, it should be connected, no? Maya connects herself to Krishna. We're the idiots that don't. Right? You know, Maya is a devotee. Everything she does is connected to Krishna. Right? Like that. As Yoga Maya, we remember Krishna. As Maha Maya, we forget Krishna. But it's Krishna that we're either remembering or forgetting. Right? So for her, it's always Krishna. Right? So, like that is, everything can be connected. So then, the realization will be bringing this out. how everything will be brought out. So here Prabhupada has brought out so nicely this pure unalloyed devotional service, the angle of the Bhagavatam, that small things aren't very important. But we see is that all these energies of the Lord, they have to be connected. He is the Lord of them. So He is the Lord of the beauty of your teeth after you've just brushed them in the morning. Right? Does that make sense? He is the feeling of cleanliness after you've just taken your bath and used all your fancy soaps and all your oils and all your new towels and the fresh water. Whatever it is that is important to you that you would call this clean. That feeling is Krishna. It's not somebody else. It's not your grandmother. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not your, you know, your pet hamster. It's Krishna. Right? It's not something else. So that's the whole thing, is that this verse is bringing out that element. No matter what is there, it's Krishna. He is the Lord of it all. But just from that angle, that we've dealt with before, He is the Lord, He is the one, and you know, the Supreme, He's this, He's that. So all these elements of Him being God, those have already been established. But now He's bringing to the realm of relationships. He's God, He's the Lord of everything, but within the relationship. Right? Therefore we're hearing about the Yadu dynasty and the goddess of fortune and all. So He's also there. But now we're bringing in the element of relationship, of the rasa. So that's the point, is whatever you have something that you like. A relationship, it's nice. You know, you're there, your child comes up to you, you smile, you give them an embrace, you pat them on the head. That experience, that's still Krishna. He's the Lord of that experience. So it's by His grace, it has been experienced. You want it? By Krishna's grace, you got it. That's what Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying. That by Krishna's grace, we have the power, we have the influence, the wealth, the wives, the children, the relatives, whatever we require. We're kshatriyas. We require these things. By Krishna's grace, we've got them. We have that experience. It's Him. It's not someone else. And if that's understood, then through these very same mediums that are taking us away from Krishna, they will take us towards Krishna. It means they won't give you Krishna. Because it's love for Krishna gives you Krishna. Right? The holy name. But it's taking you out of the material world, and it will drop you off there. Right? Recognizing that whatever is important to you is by the grace of Krishna. I mean, down to the finest little detail. Right? Just that you have the aesthetic ability to be able to pull out the right eye, you know, hair in your eyebrow. That's still Krishna. You know? So it's still connected. So that is able to, is then what makes it work. That will take you and drop you off outside the universe. It won't get you. It's that you remember Krishna, that will get you into the spiritual world. But you remember Krishna relationship to everything in the material world, that will get you out. Right? So, this verse is very nice. We see it's that Sunday. Before us, He's God. Then we're bringing in, and He's the Lord of everything here. But now it's being the Lord of everything in relationships and in ways that everyone's looking here. Probably everyone's looking for money. He's the Lord, the Goddess of Fortune. Everyone, it means, it's very common here, sex life, but it's different there. The one here is reflection of there. It doesn't have the same thing. You're not dealing with pure male and female. You're dealing with two females that think they're male. You know, it's very strange. You know, they don't have a term for it. You know, if it's two females, it's lesbian. Two male, then it's, you know, homosexual, for lack of a word. But here's two females who think they're males. You know. Tough. So that's what you're dealing with. So it looks the same, but it's actually not working the same. So even that, whatever is attractive or interesting in there, still that's Krishna, because the thing's just so weird. Therefore Prabhupada says abominable. He doesn't say abominable with Krishna and the gopis. That's transcendental. That's real. That's real conjugal interaction. Here it's not. It's just strange. Because the external looks the same, but the moods are not. Right? The emotions may be reflections, but the motives behind those emotions have nothing to do with the original. They're very strange. But even whatever it is, one's interest, one's attraction there, the activity is still, it's Krishna. Krishna says he's the cause of that attraction. And if it's done for the purpose of having religious children, then Krishna says that potency is him also, that experience is him also. So it still comes back to Krishna. Like that. But then we see the contrasts that are given. Just so that we are, because it's like, if it's too subtle, we don't catch the hint. Right? So therefore, it's very common that very exaggerated examples are given. So here we have Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi, and the most strict of all sannyasis. Right? Even Shankaracharya, who's famous, or Madhvacharya, they would still interact with women. Right? This Lord Chaitanya, no, but he is giving worship of the gopis. Because if he interacted with women and he was giving with the gopis, people would take it all cheaply. Would have separated so extremely. Then you understand that it has to be different. Otherwise, why is this man involved? Right? So that's the element there. So we get these things. Then, so then anything to be offered, any sacrifice, it is to be offered to Krishna. Right? Gita gives a whole run of sacrifices, because things are done externally, within the mind, by intellect, so many different ways that they're done. So it's saying the brahmacharya, the holy name, they're chanting the japa, that's their sacrifice. The grihastha is the senses into the sense object, but the senses are Krishna, the sense objects are Krishna, the offering of them is Krishna. It's all Krishna. Right? The sannyasis, that they do everything through the mind, through the intelligence. Right? They perform the same purpose, but on that level. So whatever is the aspect, whatever it, how it's being done through, it's still Krishna. It's still, the sacrifice is still meant for Krishna. So that's the point. So whatever it is, it's connected to Krishna. And so in this age, the best of all sacrifices is Sankirtan, because it can connect everything, right? We're very active. Yukta Vairagya, we can connect anything. So that's the point, is that we're trying to, it's very, very broad. Other things are very more restrictive, right? Lord Nityananda is walking into the bars, right? Into the pubs and preaching, right? But if you were doing a Shrauta Yajna, you know, in the Treta Yuga, it can't be done in a pub, right? And it can't be done with the people in the pub. In fact, you would have guards at the door of your yajna to keep anybody from the pub out. Right? But Sankirtan can go in there. Right? I mean, I've heard of some of the, you know, excuse the example, but just, you know, going on in this way, is that I've heard of some devotees being some of the top distributors, and one of the things that they were doing is they would go down to the red light district. They would contact the ladies, the professionals there, and they would, you know, because they're, for them, material life is pretty blunt and obvious. So the understanding of the religious principles and higher principles, for them, many times is very easy. Just because for them, it's just so rough and obvious. It's just this, you know, what is all this nice talk? So they would go there, give them all prasad, give them stacks of books, and say, sell these to your customers. Right? And then once a week they come back, take prasad again for all the girls, and then collect the money. Like this. They do a lot of books. So your other yajnas, your deity worship, your yajna, your meditation, cannot go into these areas. Sankirtan can. Therefore it's so perfect. That's why it actually is the underlying yuga dharma in all the yugas, but it comes out through the medium. In other words, Sankirtan yajna is the one and only yajna in the universe, actually in the cosmic creation. There isn't something else. But because of the nature of the conditioned souls, It comes out through the form or the medium of meditation or Vedic fire sacrifice or deity worship. Does that make sense? But in Kali Yuga, nobody can handle these forms, so you just have to give it as it is. Right? You know, people in Kali Yuga, they say they want it straight. Right? So here it is. It's the Sankirtan Yajna. It's the Bhagavad Dharma. Does that make some sense? So that's the perfect one here. Fortunately, we only got through half. Okay. Continue the purport here. We have information from the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Brahma, after giving rebirth to the conditioned souls within the universe, instructed them to perform sacrifices and lead a prosperous life. With such sacrificial performances, the conditioned souls will never be in difficulty in keeping body and soul together. Ultimately, they can purify their existence. They will find natural promotion to spiritual existence, the real identity of the living being. Conditioned souls should never give up the practice of sacrifice, charity, and austerity in any circumstance. The aim of all sacrifices is to please the Yajnapati, the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord is also called Prajapati. According to the Katha Upanishad, the one Lord is the leader of the innumerable living entities. The living entities are maintained by the Lord. Eko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. The Lord is therefore called the Supreme Bhuta Brit, or maintainer of all living beings. Living beings are proportionally endowed with intelligence in terms of their previous activities. All living beings are not equally endowed with the same quality of intelligence because behind such development of intelligence is the control of the Lord, as declared in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15. As Paramatma, Supersoul, the Lord is living in everyone's heart, and from Him only does one's power of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness follow. Mati, smritir, gyanam, apohanam, cha. One person can sharply remember past activities by the grace of the Lord, while others cannot. One is highly intelligent by the grace of the Lord, and one is a fool by the same control. Therefore, the Lord is dhyampati, or the Lord of intelligence. So then, here another, yajnapati, prajapati, means that everybody, by performing sacrifice, that's how they're going to be prosperous here. Right? They're both going to get the Lord, and things will go well here for them. As good as it gets. And intelligence, then, He is the Lord of that because He's giving it. So whoever has however much, that's by Krishna's grace. Right? But as Prabhupada points out, the shoemaker is able to sit down and take a shoe that's falling apart, and with a few, activities of his fingers, make the shoe work. That's intelligence, that's expertise. So there's a lot of variety of intelligence here. Right. So Krishna is that. The conditioned souls strive to become lords of the material world. Everyone is trying to lord it over the material nature by applying his highest degree of intelligence. This misuse of intelligence by the conditioned soul is called madness. One's full intelligence should be applied to get free from the material clutches. But the conditioned soul, due to madness only, engages his full energy and intelligence in sense gratification. And to achieve this end of life, he willfully commits all sorts of misdeeds. The result is that instead of attaining an unconditional life of full freedom, the mad conditioned soul is entangled again and again in different types of bondage in material bodies. Everything we see in the material manifestation is but the creation of the Lord. Therefore, he is the real proprietor of everything in the universes. The conditioned soul can enjoy a fragment of this material creation under the control of the Lord, but not self-sufficiently. That is the instruction in the Upanishad. One should be satisfied with things awarded by the Lord of the universe. It is out of madness only that one tries to encroach upon another's share of material possessions. Because it's the share that makes it. If you're supposed to have 100 rupees, and that's the sphere, 100 rupees is a lot of money for you. You getting 100 rupees, the experience you get will be exactly the same for the man who works in crores of rupees. That's his sphere and he gets that. Does that make sense? It's not different. It's foolish to think that the man in the better situation is enjoying more. No, because that is a situation, it's exactly the same experience. You're hungry and you know you eat rice and dal, then when you eat that, you are happy. Someone else eats chapatis and sabji, they're happy. Someone else is eating something, they're happy. Does that make sense? So it's only, because it's your sphere, you're happy in that. That's the whole idea. So therefore, that much you can have and work with and enjoy, but connect that enjoyment to Krishna. You take beyond that, that's wrong, because it belongs to Krishna. The Lord of the universe, out of his causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls, descends by his own energy, Atma Maya, to reestablish the eternal relation of the conditioned souls with him. He instructs all to surrender unto him instead of falsely claiming to be enjoyers for a certain limit under his control. When he so descends, he proves how much greater his ability to enjoy and exhibits his power of enjoyment by, for instance, marrying 16,000 wives at once. Right? And he's happy. The conditioned soul is very proud of becoming the husband of even one wife, but the Lord laughs at this. The intelligent man can know who is the real husband. Factually, the Lord is the husband of all the women in his creation. But a conditioned soul under the control of the Lord feels proud to be the husband of one or two wives. All these qualifications, as the different types of pati mentioned in this verse, are meant for Lord Sri Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami has therefore especially mentioned the pati and gati of the Yadu dynasty. The members of the Yadu dynasty knew that Lord Sri Krishna is everything, and all of them intended to return to Lord Krishna after he had finished his transcendental pastimes on the earth. The Yadu dynasty was annihilated by the will of the Lord because its members had to return home with the Lord. The annihilation of the Yadu dynasty was a material show created by the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the Lord and the members of the Yadu dynasty are all eternal associates. The Lord is therefore the guide of all devotees, and as such, Sukadeva Goswami offered him due respects with love-laden feelings. So here we see the affection is being manifest through this. So he's bringing out is that the relationships are there. He's the Lords of these devotees. Therefore, that's why he took them with them. Otherwise, one could think he's the Lord of the devotees. Why did he do this? No, he took them with them. That's the principle. Like that. Here, Krishna is the Lord of all, the husband of all women, because actually he's the only male, so he's the only one that actually knows how to deal with females. It's just the way it is. But others can try if they follow the rules given by Krishna. If you look at it, Krishna, and we don't find any instance where he's arrogant. He's always tolerant, he's always forgiving, he's always humble, he's always submissive. Always. There's no example. Think about it. There isn't another example. Krishna is not trying to prove his masculinity with the women at any point in any pages of any book. Never. Therefore, he's the master of all women. Right? Does that make sense? Because Krishna is so tolerant with the women, therefore all their good qualities come out. Right? And when the men are give the women space for being crazy, the women give the kids space for being crazy. The men are intolerant of the women are intolerant of the kids. Just the way it goes. So any bad quality coming out in the lady, if she's proven herself to have good quality, is because the man is not properly performing his duties of being humble, tolerant, respectful, not expecting respect, and being always absorbed in the Lord's service. It's just the way it goes. The women follow the men, right? The men are saying, but then following in what? The man thinks I should be served, so the woman thinks I should be served. The man thinks I am the servant, the woman serves. It's the way it goes. Because if the woman's not respectful to the husband, the children aren't going to be respectful to her. But why she's not respectful to the husband? Because the husband isn't someone she respects. Externals can go on, but we're talking about the moods here. So that's why only Krishna is actually the real husband, because he only knows how to deal with women completely. He unlimited tolerance, patience. He knows, you know, how they are. And it's not it's a matter of fairness. Because if it's fair, fair means equal. But then where does the Veda say it's equal? Right? We want to say women are junior, men are senior. That means it's not equal. Right? The mother does all the work, the kid just sits back. Is that equal? The mother could say, well, I cook today, you cook tomorrow. But is it, then where does it, where is it, then it's not, then we're not talking parental rasa. Does that make some sense? So the point is if we're taking the stand that women aren't equal, then that means the men have to have more of the good qualities, but otherwise it's taken that, no, the man, I'm superior, so therefore I don't have to have the good qualities. No, it's just the opposite. Superior means better qualities. Inferior means less good qualities. Right? Does that make some sense? So it's very, that's why Krishna, he is the actual husband of all women, because he is like that. He is sitting in the heart. He's tolerating everything. You want to take him to the most abominable, disgusting situation, he'll go with you. And he'll wait. He's already told you, but he doesn't bang it over your head, told you so. It's, no, you do it, you know. You wake up in the morning, you got a hangover, you know, this and that. You fell off your motorcycle, you got, you know, scraped up. Okay, so now let's move on. It's kind of, well, yeah, you were right. Because, you know, if it's, I told you so, then it's like, you know, then there's ego. But if it's like, you know, hey, you know, you wanted to say something. Oh, does this make sense? So this is the thing. It's, therefore, he is the husband of all. Therefore, he can have 16,108 wives. No problem. Right? It's not, he's not having a problem here. And that's just here, just so that people can accommodate it. Gopis, we're talking about 16,108, are prominent. Queens are 16,108. And then each of these queens have their maidservants. Maidservants are also considered like the husband of the mistress is the husband of the maidservant. Right? Devaki was given 2,000 maidservants. So technically all those maidservants, Vasudeva is their husband. And that's Devaki. Now we're talking about the queens. You know, God's their husband. How many maidservants they got? So you can take 16,008 and multiply that by thousands and thousands. Still he has no problem. Right? Hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis. And this is so we can understand. It means you take thousands of, I mean, yeah, hundreds of thousands. It's a lot. Right? Because if we say unlimited, then we can't get a grasp on it. So there has to be something. Right? We can grasp the Radharani, okay, the Astasaki, you know, 108 gopis, but, you know, in Rasa dance, you can accommodate 16,108. That's prominent. That's where all your main ragas have come from, your main tals. So it's actually 16,108 main ragas and tals in the music. That's coming from each of those gopis. Right? But there's actually millions. Right? There's millions. But, you know, we don't want to boggle anybody's imagination. So like that. So then here. So then the final point is that all relationships come back to Krishna. That's the point. So that he's annihilated the Yana dynasty. It might look a bit rough, but they're his associates, so they go with him. So they went with him. Just these forms are left here, just so we can have some pastimes. You know, it's just like, okay, we're going along. The Duryodhan is there, and everybody's there, and then suddenly, you know, one of his spies comes in and goes, my lord, nobody knows what happened, but suddenly this island appeared out just off the coast of, you know, of Gujarat, and there's this big, thriving city out in the middle of the ocean. Just there was the farmers who were on the beach there just said there was this kind of like puff of smoke, and then suddenly there was this here. Initially, they had a lot of the psychiatrists were doing a really good business, but after a while, they kind of figured out, well, maybe they're here. They're just, you know, mystics or witches or something, and then like that, and then just one day it just disappeared. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't make for a great pastime, right? That's why Krishna avoids using so much mystic power. Even if he uses it, he still uses it like a human being. He doesn't sit back and then make Govardhan Hill rise. He goes under it and picks it up like you would pick up something, just as a little bigger than anybody else would pick up. Right? So, Krishna, whatever he does, even when he uses mystic power, it's still in connection with the human nature. Like that. Otherwise, mysticism on its own is no rasato. You don't think of yogis. Think of one yogi that are known as great rasiks and nice, interactive durvasa. You know, go ahead. Strain yourself here. They don't exist. Right? Because the mystic yogis, they're not known for rasa. Right? People are known for rasa. Use it. Right? You know, Kardama used it. He created a palace for his wife. But it's still, ladies like nice places and they like to travel around and like variety. Put that all together, bingo. You can't get better than that, right? So he makes a flying palace. So, like that. But it's still within the realm of relationship. It doesn't step out. So we see here is this being all brought in, that it doesn't leave the realm of relationship. Krishna and the Yadavs, it's still a relationship. So even though the factual point is none of them die, but still the mystic power is used to create a human environment. Therefore this pastime. Does that make sense? Okay, so then take any question? Yes.
Regarding Shriyapati.
Shriyapati.
Yeah, he's the husband for all the females. The third canon of this chapter in the Bible description of my water, it's Gopalamas describing that there's aeroplanes and there's husband and wives and sweethearts.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Okay, how there's husband and wives, okay. So it's mentioned in the spiritual realm, this husband and wives, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, so how is he the master? Because actually that male potency is him, right? Even the husband of that goddess of fortune in Vaikuntha, you know, of all the ladies that are there, they're all goddesses of fortune. But that potency is still Krishna. Right? Because otherwise, where does it come from? How does the same soul, this life, they're a man, they think of, at the time of death, they think of a woman, next life, they're a woman. They act like one. And then they think of the chase, they think of their husband, next life, they're a man. It goes on. How does that work? It's because that potency is put there. Right? They have a little kid, they act like little kids, they talk like little kids, walk like little kids. When they get bigger, they act like adolescents. They get bigger, they act like adults. So where did it come from? It's the same soul. And you can say, at this date, at this time, this is going to happen. You know, when it comes to the children, you can say, year to year, exactly what their general mentality is going to be. It's set. It doesn't matter where in the world, all the kids, they all do that. You know? So then that works. Does that make some sense? So it's because the potency is there, so it's still Krishna. But those husbands there are going to act like they're going to act according to the direction of the example of Krishna. Like that. So even that, what works, is still as Krishna. Does that make some sense? Or? Is it increasing his enjoyment? It's not. It's increasing his enjoyment indirectly, because that potency is him, but at the same time not him. So it increases. It's just like this. We have, let's say, in the West, you know, be a kind of like a obvious example. Thank you. Lover's Lane. Because people like to go where other people are doing what they're doing. Right? You know what I'm saying? Is people go where someone else is, because that increases what's there. Right? Therefore, then, even though it's actually only Radha and Krishna, but everybody else is married and getting married, and the animals, you know, they hang out together, and all these different things, so it adds to the atmosphere. The cuckoos are calling each other. It adds to the romantic atmosphere. You know, so that's the whole point, is that it adds to Krishna's enjoyment, because if he's, you know, it's only Radha and Krishna and everybody else is, you know, kind of, you know, neuters standing around, you know, it's not going to make for great, you know, it may sound good to the conditioned soul, you know, with the Machiavellian kind of twist on things, but it's not going to actually please someone who is an enjoyer. Because it's like this also. Like it's, another example would be that just as there, it adds the atmosphere. Another thing is that you got a nice car, right? But someone else has a nicer car, right? So then their enjoyment's more. But people who have nice cars, they go to situations and clubs and hotels and restaurants where everybody else has a nice car, but theirs is nicer than anyone else's. You know what I'm saying? So you can't drive into that driveway unless you had a nice car, right? But it's still, I've got the nicest of all the nice cars driving in. Or he's got the fanciest, but I've got, you know, an old, you know, antique thing in perfect condition. Or something's unique about it that sets me apart. There's an enjoyment in that. So Krishna, everybody has a husband and a wife, and Krishna has 16,100 nandam. Right? So it's always there to add to it. But for Krishna, it's not ego. It's just the way it is. Does that make some sense? So for pastime, because pastime, actually, if you look at it, you have what's called bhava, right? Anubhava means, anu means small. Anubhava is the experience of the bhava. You have five aspects of bhava, right? Vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, sthayi bhava, and sanchari bhava, right? So, you could say that anubhava is the experience that puts it into prayojana, right? Sthayi bhava is going to be the situation, that's sambandha, that's what is your relationship, right? So that's fixed. Vibhava is going to be your attraction to it. So I mean, so that last one, that would be sankarshan, right? Vibhava is going to be your attraction to it, so that's going to be prajumna. But it's still sambandha. But that's starting to get some life to it, right? The sattvika bhavas are the reaction, the physical reactions that happen for the experience. Right? You know what I'm saying? Then the sanchari bhavas are going to be the subtle little moods within that. You know, they're going to be aspects of what kind of attraction or how it's manifesting the attraction. But they're constantly changing. You may be, it's just like you take the conjugal rasa, but there's 16 main sub-moods that are within that. The girl has affection for the boy, but she's ignoring him. You know, or he's coming and apologize, she won't even talk to him. He calls on the phone, she turns it off. It's out of affection, it's not because she doesn't like him. You know, so these are little things that move within it. You know what I'm saying? And then the fine within that is 33. So, but of that, so those come in the activity. Right? So now, within this, you would think that getting the result is what we want, because that's what we work for here. But if the result is so great, why is it called anubhav instead of rihat bhav or maha, like what? You know what I'm saying? It's anubhav because the experience is not, it is gotten. Right? If we say passion is desire, they're trying to get. So therefore, because the passion creates the endeavor. The passion, then the need is so great, you endeavor. Therefore, there's a pastime. But attaining that, that's appreciated, but it's a moment. Right? Therefore, he's ananga. But the point is it's the pastime that's important. So that's why Govinda is the prominent deity, not Gopinath. That's why the prominent acharya is Rupa, not Raghunath or Madhu Pandit. Does that make sense? So the endeavor, so therefore the pastime is what's important. And to do that, then you have to have people to interact with. And there has to, and a pastime means you can interact with someone if there's a common ground. If there's no common ground, how do you interact? Rich people interact with rich people. Famous people with famous. Beautiful with beautiful. Right? You know, artists with artists. Business with business. There has to be a common ground. Then you have relationships. So if he's the only one that's married, or only one with a girl, then, you know, how do you relate to anybody else? They don't know what's going on, you know. Right? You know, it makes good coffee and science fiction movies, but, you know, no one lives like that, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, is that okay? Okay. So I think we should end here, then we'll continue with your question. Okay, so if anybody, you know, wants to go now, then feel free. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaina Jai Gaurava Prema. Interaction, they don't say.
They don't say.
Okay.
Maybe in relation
to the question is it's not a question, it's just, yeah, it is a question. It's just, where is it mentioned, just on the point of that all women are actually the wives of Krishna, is that he remembers that there's something where the cowherd men whose wives are the gopis that are, you know, have the parakriya rasa with Krishna, are saying that actually we understand this, but due to social, you know, convention and embarrassment, this, we don't say anything. I can only guess that that's Priyat Bhagavatamrita, because there everybody comes forward and says, even Jatila says, actually I'm in ecstasy of Radha and Krishna together, but that's my service, is to make obstacles, you know. So it's like everybody knows, but this is tattva. That's the thing. And tattva, everybody knows. It's just like, I can guarantee you could bring Mother Jashoda here, the same lady that's bewildered by Krishna manifesting universal form, and I guarantee she could give a very good, strong, philosophical lecture. Right? Because this is the pastime. We're here to preach, so therefore Mother Sachi is sitting there and telling, you know, Lord Chaitanya, you know, defeating the Mayavad philosophy that he's presenting. You know, she's just a simple lady, and she's able to defeat Mayavad. So they're able to do these things, you know. Gadadhar Pandit, you know, or great, you know, preacher, or what's the other one? Satyabhama comes and Gaurleela. Yeah, whatever. Prema Pradeep, but no, not Prema. Prema Vivarta is written by him. He's the one that gave the sandalwood to Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Chaitanya wouldn't take it. And then he came back and threw the sandalwood on the ground, said, what sandalwood? I didn't. Jagannath Pandit, yeah. So it's not an uncommon thing. So they can do great like that. But that's tattva. They're preaching tattva. But when it comes to the need of the living entity, you can't live off of tattva. Right? You know, it's just like you can't eat nuts and bolts, so you can't eat the nuts and bolts of the universal, you know, structure. You know, the living entity, ananda, means rasa. Right? Nuts and bolts is chit. Right? So, but ananda, it means rasa, interaction. Like that, so it has to be there. Does that make sense? So that's where I would think of it. Is that okay? Because otherwise, if everybody just knew that, then what does Krishna do? There has to be something. It can't go the way you want, seemingly. But it always does in the end. If you're patient, whatever you're looking for comes. So that's the point. Krishna being male is patient, right? One of the main problems here is men are impatient. They expect something to happen yesterday. And so they can't wait. And so then they get upset. Because they're upset, then the reflection comes and women get upset. Right? So it doesn't work. But Krishna's patient. He'll wait. Because he waits, therefore, whatever he's looking for comes. That's masculine. Right? And it's understood, feminine is attached. It's dependent. Therefore, it can't wait. Right? But there, the masculine understands that. That is the nature. It's just the way it is. I want to cook. I can't yell at the pot that it burnt me. Because I'm cooking for Krishna. Don't you know I'm cooking for Krishna? And I don't have time to go out and look for bandages and this and that and all this. This is nonsense. I want justice. You know, so now the pot, what are we going to do? Go burn the pot? Or, you know, I need to stay, you know what I'm saying? So that's the point. We know it's like that. We get burnt by the pot. It's our fault. So if you know what women's nature are, the men get burnt, it's their fault. They don't get upset with them. Same with kids. It's just the way it is. Animals. It's just the way it is. You know, sun, moon, wind. You know, you go out and you get sunburned. You can't blame the sun. So that's the point, is that it's just the way it is. That's the point. We want to be the enjoyers of this material world. So an enjoyer waits. Right? Because the feminine is not straight. The masculine is straight. Feminine is crooked. So it takes a little longer if the path is zigzag. Man, they, why isn't it like that? No, it's a zigzag. It takes longer. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So everybody knows all these things, but only but it still has to be applied in the rasa. So therefore, that's knowledge, tattva, but applied in the rasa. Then it has meaning. Because rasa on its own, then it's just seemingly spontaneous, but it has no meaning. Because then there's no definition. What is good? Someone says, this is good. Tomorrow, that's good. You know, it's just like the people who are on the, you know, so-called, you know, front-edge socialites. They're alone. Why are they alone? Because whatever they do next week is out of fashion. So how does anybody relate to them? So all it is basically just jealousy and envy. That's their relationship with everybody. They don't have an intimate relationship with anybody because there is no common platform. You know, the t-shirt that was in last week that now the other guys buy so they can be part of the group now is out and you wear something else. So, where's the relationship? So the point is creating commonality is there, so therefore the tattva has to be there so you know what is the position, how it works, what is the relationship. But after establishing that aspect as a sankarshan, then it should be imbued with prajumna. It should have some life to it. There should be desire, there should be interest, there should be... Otherwise, where is the relationship? Right? But if there's no Shankarshan in the Sambandha, then there is no relationship. But if it's only Shankarshan, then it's dry. And if it's only Prajumna, then it has no meaning. So you have to have the both. That's why both of them combined together, that's the Sambandha. Does that make some sense? Yeah. So then things start to work. You know? And that's where Krishna... Why is it that Krishna is giving the Sikshastaka? It's like his Dharma Shastra, or his Artha Shastra, Kama Shastra, his Niti Shastra. All that is all in the third verse. Your whole etiquette, everything is all that. All rules of human social interaction is all in the third verse. Humble, tolerant, respecting everyone else, not looking for any respect for yourself. And absorbed in transcendence. So Krishna is absorbed in himself. So we are also absorbed in himself. You know, does that make sense? So if you have that, everything else comes out of that. So if something's not working with you in some social, economic, or anything, sense, it's because one of those five is not happening. So everything, you can fold up everything back into those five. that. There's no rule. It won't fold back up into that. Because that is what makes it work. Right? So, we understand the position of the Sankirtan mission. It's given in the seven parts. Then we have the humble attitude. Means that then, you know, so that's manifest there. Then from that, then we can see, because Krishna is there, therefore then nothing else is important. It's only Krishna. Therefore, nādānam nājānam nasambhavi. Relationship with Krishna. Therefore, āyānam namatānuja. The ecstasy that comes from that, it just goes on. So that's the thing is, this is, you have to get it anyway. You know what I'm saying? It has to, this is the way Krishna works. Therefore, he's created all relations based off of this. Right? He is who he is. Right? So because he is who he is, I think it's a famous, you know, statement. Except for it's, I am who I am. So, he is who he is. And how things are manifested, that's him. He didn't have to think, well, I'm here, Atmarama, and I'd like to do some, so therefore, what could I do? Let's say, what could we do? We could, maybe we could interact with somebody. You know, what kind of interactions could we do? Well, hey, we could have this one or that. No, that one's no good. Yeah, this one's great, but you got to... No, it's just, he's manifesting himself. So he's perfect, so it's already perfect. So all the relationships, everything, are him. So he functions, he is these things. It's, everything's going to function like that. There's nothing that's not going to function that way. There's nothing in the cause of creation that's not going to function according to Krishna. That's why I said he is it. So if we accept that, then we accept that he is all these things, so therefore why it would work. Right? Sat Chit Ananda. Therefore everything anywhere is going to work according to the principle of Sat Chit Ananda. Material world is reflection, so it's going to be Atsat, Achit, and you know, Dukkha. But the form of it's going to be the same, but the result of it's not. Right? Because it's a reflection, so it's going to look, so it's going to act the same way the sat does. So it still has to have the knowledge, it still has to have, so you still have to have Sankarshan and Pajumna. Right? For any activity, this still must be how do you say, Vasudeva. So that means chit means knowledge and practice. So your activity is done with knowledge. Right? Krishna knows this thing will make Radharani happy. He does it. He knows this thing will make her upset. He does it. Right? Still, it's based on knowledge. You know what I'm saying? But knowledge isn't the prominence. The interaction is the practice that's important. But it's still based on knowledge. That knowledge goes back to the Sankarshan, because it's the relationship. So the Sambandha Jnana being applied in the activity, that is Chit. So they're connected. Right? Does that make some sense? Yeah. So it's important that He is the Lord, but it's the Tattva. We don't function without the tattva, but tattva on its own is not that. We use tattva basically to establish everything so that we will take it seriously, Krishna is God, not us, and to get ourselves out of the material world. But actually development and affection, that's because his pastimes are so nice. He's so nice. That's the real reason. Not because he's God. Great. He's God. Okay, then we'll acquiesce that we're not God. But factually, the important thing is that he's nice. It says he performs his pastime, so because we're not, he's nice, we're attracted. Right? That's the point. So we're attracted because he's nice, his pastime's nice, he's nice, everything about him is nice. So his qualities, that comes out of the middle there. So pastimes are based in qualities. That's why Govinda. Govinda means qualities, Govinda means pastimes. So that's what's attractive. The experience you get from being attracted will be Madan Mohan, or if it's something attained, will be Gopinath. But the field of it is Govinda. Does this make sense? Okay.
Okay, so, okay.
each one's sincerity and Krishna consciousness. Okay, so the question basically is there an importance in the interaction of devotees when they have husband and wife that the good qualities are there, or is the importance the sincerity of Krishna consciousness? As we were discussing in the beginning, means the sincerity would be the most important thing that would cause all these things. Because if the sincerity is there, naturally it's going to work. Because the point is that who is the other person? They're a devotee. Devotees are dear to Krishna. We serve devotees. Therefore, the relationship will work. If we appreciate devotees, that's the shantaras. We serve devotees, that's the servitorship. We're friends with devotees, therefore that comes that. We take care of the devotees in moments of difficulty. Therefore then there's the parental, and there's the intimacy, so therefore it's a conjugal. Oh, does the development of their sincerity not depend upon the other person? Actually, yes. Means each soul is actually independent, and you can, because actually what you're doing is here, I mentioned the male-female, but the females can take the same thing and apply it on themselves. Because they're the male trying to enjoy the material energy, so their body and everything about them and their sphere is female, so they can apply the same thing. The same thing applies there. So the lady wants things to work in her life, and the kids, yes, accept that's just the way the house works, money works, this, that. So they have to apply the same qualities that are expecting that the husband's applying on them. But it makes it easier if the husband's applying it on them, therefore they have the example in that thing, so therefore then they apply it on their things. Right? Means that the man is not tolerant of the woman being a trippy lady, because she's a lady, then the women, that same woman, will not be tolerant of her children getting trippy or other women getting trippy, because trippy women aren't tolerated. Of course, that's what I said before. I said is what you're doing to do that, you do your good qualities, you have to put it on to that. That's the way it is. You have to use it in that way. How are you going to develop your good qualities? You don't develop your good qualities except in relationship to other people. Quality means relationship, Rasa. Like, does that make sense? Govindaji means it's relationship, it's interaction. So that means how are you going to develop, how are you going to be humble? You're just sitting by yourself in the middle of nowhere with nothing. How are you humble? Right? Humility is with someone else. So, therefore, you use the same attitude and you're applying it on someone else. Because our place we start from is that of the enjoyer. Right? Of the controller and enjoyer. So that is very much worked into the conditioned state, even of the feminine state. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes. You can do it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So taking farther means we're. Yeah. Okay. Means moving forward here. Then the point is that the husband or wife could be sincere, exclusive. I mean, excluded. The proper behavior of the other one. What I'm saying is the man may be great, he's a great devotee, sincere, the wife is not really behaving great. So he's doing what he knows in his training, and therefore in her lack of training, it's not responding. But what we're pointing out, which is a side point, just to support what we were saying before, there is a science that if he really knew what he's doing, he could even catch that untrained woman. Because the woman wants to actually be corrected. But it means your humility, your tolerance, your have to be stretched to the limits. So therefore, to establish that, you would really have to go out of your way to develop the good qualities you would need as a devotee anyway, so it's going to enhance. It can be done. But what we're pointing out is very few people do that. Therefore, then you have such thing as astrology and other things to check the charts that they match. You have proper training beforehand so that they do actually know what are the concepts and activities of a human being, so that it works nicely together. You know what I'm saying? But despite that, you have someone who can do it. That's what a leader is, right? Your common people, they interact, get their done. A leader is someone who can go well beyond that. Therefore, they can change. But how many of them are there? But my point is unless the ideal is presented, then we go on in our daily ho-hum rut and think that I'm okay, you're okay, and nobody should bother you. I don't bring out anything and point out any of your faults, so you don't do it to me, and we all, in this way, we're all doing great. But what we're pointing out is that a lot of the things could be due to this. So that's there. We can take the same thing, apply it to ourselves. There's us, the male. It doesn't matter what species you're in, I'm talking the soul. The material energy is female. You have to apply the same qualities. Or there's this, the person, the individual as a lady, but she has her sphere of her activities, her house, her children, but it's still material energy, so it's female. But she wants to control and enjoy that. It's male. She still has to manifest the same qualities. So the principle is it's most, let's say, fully manifest in its clearest terms where you can use all the things and there's no confusion between the man being in a male form and the woman being in a female form. You know what I'm saying? But the same principle applies everywhere. As Krishna is the male and all energy is female. So it's just like we mentioned before, study. Everybody studies. It's possible that the Grihastha is better at studying, or the Vanaprastha, the Sannyasa, is way better at studying than the Brahmachari. But for the Brahmachari, the studying is his service, is his occupation. It's because he is studying, that's why he's taken care of. So therefore, since that's the prominent thing in their consciousness, because like say for a Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa who is studying, study is not the prominent element. The sannyasi, the vanaprasa, it's for something else. It's studying to preach or like this. The brahmachari is studying to study. Does that make sense? So that's why we give the example here, just using it that the male means the living entity in the male body, you know, and acting as one, and the female in the female bodies. I mean, it's like that. That's why we give it that way. But the principle applies to anything. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like you're the male, you have the knife, it's the female, so you have to know how to use it, otherwise you get cut. Right? That's the thing. So you're the enjoyer, you're the controller, you're the one getting done what you get done, that you don't know what you're doing, you get cut. So you can be very sincere, be very Krishna conscious, and have a lot of cuts on your fingers. Or you can? You can soar means you individually can. Yeah, despite everybody here. The point is being here, okay, now, here, that's, now I think we're getting down to the bottom here. Is, am I dependent on anyone else to develop? Is, technically yes, technically no. Yes, meaning we're dependent upon the Lord and the devotees to develop Krishna consciousness. That's the real relationships. As far as functioning within the material world, there is some connection of interaction or dependency, therefore there's etiquette. But as far as the individual developing their own qualities and desires and that, no. You're not dependent upon them. That's the point. But what we're talking about here is the relationship with the others. It means if you don't know what you're doing, even the nicest, sincerest boy will have a hellish family life. He's sincere, he's sweet, he was a great pujari, everything's submissive, does everything he's told, but he really can't understand what's the lady going on about, what's a trip, it doesn't make sense. The deities don't do that. You know, like that. So it's, he can't understand. For him, it's difficult. But as far as developing your own good qualities, going back to Godhead, he'll go back to Godhead and just thinking, wow, that was weird. You know? Does that make sense? I didn't say it loud enough, or that was selective hearing. Okay. No, I was saying is the Pujari just said, means he didn't have a good family life, and you know, he just thinks that Krishna goes back to God, and he just thought, well, that was weird, you know, the whole family experience, you know. Everybody says it's nice. I didn't know what's so nice about it, you know. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So the point is, no, the individual is free to go back to Godhead on their own. Like that. So, but that's the tattva. But to do that, he's got to interface with something. Either it's, means it's either physically, actively engaged, like what we were talking in social interaction, or as we see, like vanaprastha sannyas, they don't. The sadhu, the python sadhu, in the 11th canto, those 22 gurus, he didn't have personal interaction with them. So intellectually, he interacted and gained what he needed to gain the qualities. Does that make sense? So that's why the Gita is giving all these options of how you can perform sacrifice. So it can be within the mind, it can be within the intelligence, it can be just the need for it is sacrificed into, you know, how you say, your need for something is sacrificed into its position as Krishna. So there's no need of actually interacting with it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So at all levels it can be applied, but the principle depending upon, because we're only talking about one thing. We're just talking about surrendering to Krishna and engaging ourselves to please Krishna. That's all we're talking about. We're not talking. But because the levels, the range of the levels that are there are unlimited, and the range of the perspective of the living being in their mundane approach to that unlimited is so great. So therefore the philosophy is presented from all these unlimited angles. So it appears that you're actually talking something different every time. But it's actually the same thing. So that's why it may be confusing in here, at least in my presentation, that I will move from one into another, because to me it's the same. You know? So we'll move in and out of the tattva and the rasa to give example from something else. But we're talking here. You know, we're talking here an aspect of brahmacharya, and the example that we're given is a conjugal relationship. Because that's where you see it fully manifest, but it still applies here. The brahmachari still has to control the senses. The grihastha has to control the senses. That makes sense? There's no shastra that says that the senses aren't controlled. Even the kama shastra says that the man, unless he controls himself and acts as a human, not as a beast, and considers a woman at all points, he's never going to be successful. So they're all saying the same thing. Does that make any sense? Yeah, so sorry if I'm like that. Something else, yes. How to develop intelligence to understand others' feelings. First of all, means recognized by theory, at least as we are sentient and has feelings, others also have feelings. That's where you start from. It's just as we have feelings. The medium through which it is may be different, but the experience is the same. Right? We're eating our rice and dal, the cow is eating their grass. They have the same experience. The taste of food and getting what is the same. So that's understood, that whatever we're experiencing, everybody else will experience. It's not that we're unique and only we experience. That itself will be there. Knowing that it's there, apply your intelligence and you will see it. Right? You are happy when you meet somebody that you know. You see, a friend is happy when they meet somebody they know. A mother is happy when they see the child. The child is happy when they see the dog is happy. Dogs smile. They wag the tail when they see other dogs that they like. Right? So then you can see, you know, the mother dog is taking care of the puppies. There's still moments of that, you know, same feeling. You know? You know what I'm saying? So it's not different, because the soul, you know, is the culture is human. Everything else is adjusted off of that. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, then you adjust from there. Does that make sense? Because the natural position moving into the material world is human, not something else. Okay? So then you can then start to use your intelligence to discern that all living entities, they have feelings. Can it be done through constant observation? Observation and contemplation. Just that you observed it, you have to contemplate it. But unless you observe, then you're not going to see it. Yeah. Okay. Something else? Yes.